And this is Sheila, and we are Spy Fat Chicks. And we're recording now at the Williams Coffee Pub in Whitby. Again, we came by for lunch and a coffee, and we thought we'd record while we were here, since it's hard to do at home with the little snorty thing.
Yeah.
So.
He's adorable, though.
Yes. Though their paninis here are pretty good, so we're fat and happy right now.
Yeah. Inspired, if you will.
We're inspired, because we're in a coffee pub, and we're going to talk about a couple other pubs, so.
Now, these are of the alcoholic variety, but we're mainly going to talk about the food.
Mm-hmm.
Both pubs had a great selection of adult beverages on tap, but our main focus for this episode is going to be about the food that we enjoyed at both places.
Yes. And the first one is Willie Stout's, and it is in Scarborough.
Yep. It's by Victoria Park Avenue, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the directions up on the website.
Yes.
And our friend John took us there.
It's a stealthy little pub, too, because you really don't see it.
You'd almost drive past it without noticing it was there.
Well, the Scotiabank kind of eclipses it, too, because it's this big old red Scotiabank sign. Then you have the cute little like Willie Stout sign next to it. So, but yes, John took us there. And this is someplace he goes to frequently, so he's kind of a regular. And when you walk in, it's just pub. You know, classic, gorgeous pub.
100% pubitude.
Oh, our hearts melted as soon as we walked in. We were like, oh, it's so pretty. And it's a pretty big place. The first half when you walk in doesn't look very big, but there's a small corridor which you would have to go through to get back to the bathrooms. And there's a whole second part of the pub that they rent out, and you can just also go back there and drink there if they're not renting it out at the time. There's a dartboard back there, a pool table.
Yeah.
So it has all the...
Gold tea machine.
Yes, all the appropriate pub accoutrements.
It's almost like it's an S-shaped pub.
Yeah.
Because it has that weird corridor connecting the two places.
Like S or barbell, kind of. But it has a cute little setup. So, before we talk about the food, one of the things that impressed me the most that I think was our first clue in that we needed to needed a podcast about this place was not just the beer selection, but the guest beer.
Yeah, that is very cool. Each week they have a guest tap and they rotate in a new beer,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool.
Which, when we were there, was one of the Mill Street beers.
Yeah.
And they have a killer selection without the guest tap.
Mm-hmm.
But with the guest tap alone, that's awesome.
It takes that seasonal and changes it up to our fast-paced MTV editing
mm-hmm.
attention span.
But you have 52 times in a year, if you're a regular there, you can go and try a new
52
beer.
52 different beers.
Even if they repeat it, even if they repeat it twice in a year, that's 26 different beers. How could you not like that in your pub?
It's awesome.
I wish we had a local pub that did that. I'd be a regular there just to try the different beer every week, because I love variety.
Well,
I want to try everything that's out there.
They're trying to foster that community, that pub feel, you know, the public house, everyone meets up there kind of thing.
Yes.
Because John and his cohorts from work go there all the time.
Yes.
To the point where they just walk in and the waitress just brings over their drinks and takes their food order.
Yes.
Because she already knows what they're going to want.
And that is an admirable quality in a pub waitress. So,
yes.
The staff was just friendly and wonderful and sweet. The food, the menu is pub menu.
Yeah.
It's classic pub grub, but like English pub grub, not American pub grub.
Right. It's the... And I love these things. No matter people give them slack as being like the next TGI Fridays, I love the hybrid British and North American pub.
Mm-hmm.
They're a great place for people to get in touch with their roots, feel comfortable, feel at home, and think about their own home culture, you know, or to visit a culture that's different from their own if they're not waspy like I am.
Well, and it's also not obnoxiously loud. Think about that versus some of the bars we've been to in Morgantown where you can't hear yourself talk.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that it's too loud to podcast. We wouldn't be able to podcast there like we do in some places here, but it's too loud to have a normal conversation sometimes.
And pubs are great places for conversation.
They promote conversation. They promote actually getting to know people, and that's one of the things that appeals to them for me.
Yeah.
And this one used to be a Firkin pub,
And
John said overnight, he came back a weekend, and it was Willie Stout's.
Yeah.
And
the guy decided,
even better,
you know, I can already do this. I should do it for myself. And mm-hmm. that... is 100% A+. That's awesome.
And we have nothing against the Firkin pubs.
I like the Firkin pubs, but if someone wants to go out on their own and do their own thing without having a corporation they have to report mm-hmm. to so that they can have more freedom as an entrepreneur, then I'm 100% behind them.
I think I'm more in favor of the Firkin pubs south of the border than I am up here because there's so many variety There's so many out there besides the Firkin pubs that you can find a place like Woolly Stout's easily up here. But in Morgantown, right. It was exciting when we got our only Firkin pub.
Yeah.
Because we had nothing like it.
Yeah.
You had finally had something with a pub atmosphere where you could go and have a couple of drinks and play some darts.
Right.
And it wasn't a pool hall, and it wasn't a club, right. And it wasn't a sports bar, and that was nice.
Exactly. And I love the pubs for what mm-hmm. they are. I don't hate on them for what they're not. No, they're not 100% authentic.
Yes.
But you know what? You can't have a 100% authentic British pub here because we don't have British people here.
Yes.
You have to appeal to the people that live here.
And we also don't have British beers here who are backing the pub financially. Because is it not now a lot of pubs in England are backed by the beer themselves?
That's originally how it was. Like, yes. If you there was a Guinness pub, it would be a pub that was owned by Guinness that would sell Guinness beer.
Well, it's still like that. And that's how a lot of pubs in England are staying afloat. We
right.
learned that from the Cheers book.
Yeah.
So that's... I'm in favor of them. I'd like to see more of them in the States, if nothing else, so that it would lead to the Woolly Stouts mentality of, I can go alone without the Firkin name.
And inspire
and break
more people
off.
To go independent.
Yes.
And that's great.
That would be awesome. So, yes, we're not usually fans of chains, but we do like that one in particular for what they are.
Yeah.
So, on to the food.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my God.
It was... Let's see. What did you order?
I had the Willie's Angus Burger, I think it was. It's one that had the little... icon next to it on the menu that it was one of their specialty foods.
Okay.
So I ordered that, and it was an Angus burger with cheese and lettuce and tomato and onion, and it had sautéed onions on it and bacon, and it had this killer, amazing chipotle barbecue sauce. And it's not like really chipotle. It almost tastes more like a sweet barbecue sauce on it, but it has a tang to it.
Yeah.
I could bathe in this stuff. I could put this on everything I eat. I used to say my favorite barbecue sauce in the world, hands down, was the one up at Kingston.
Right.
At the brew pub that they put on their wings. Because that is a
KLB.
Killer. The Kingston Brewing Company.
KBC.
KBC. Kingston Brewing Company. And it is a killer barbecue sauce up there. But this actually beats it. And I did not think I would find something that would beat it. But it just had so much flavor. Just the faintest hint of heat to it.
Right.
Just a very faint hint. It was like teasing you. It's like, hey, there's heat here, but you're not going to see it.
Right.
The whole burger was... The thing was huge. It came out, and it had to have been half a pound.
You had to, like, unhinge your jaw to take a bite.
Yeah, I put the top on it and smushed it all together, and I'm like, I don't know if I can get my mouth around it. Because it was just a giant, huge, cartoon-looking burger. I mean, the burger hung off the bun, and it had that awesome Angus burger texture, which, when you get an Angus burger, the meat is cut more roughly.
It's like a coarser cut.
Yes.
Rather than a finer cut.
Yes. It's not like the
smooth
not
ground, really tiny.
Ground that you're used to. So for some people, that really turns them off. I really like that as long as I know that's what I'm getting. And I knew I was getting an Angus burger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't know that's what you're getting, it might surprise you. Yeah. The first time I had it, I was like, whoa, wait a second. But I really got into it.
Right.
It reminds me of the Lumpy Burgers.
Yeah.
At Spencer's... parents' farm.
Yes.
Where one of their relatives had a cow break a leg, so they had to slaughter it ahead of time.
It was a calf named Lumpy.
So we came back from going out and swimming and everything, and Spencer's mom's like, yeah, we're having Lumpy burgers. And we're like, Lumpy burgers?
Does that mean that the burger is lumpy? No, it means lumpy was used to make the burger.
Yes. But the burger, the Lumpy burgers, were lumpy. They had the same texture as an Angus burger, so it was a rougher grind, but it was really
good.
It
was almost like a farmhouse grind kind of thing.
Yes. So this burger was a religious experience. It was so good, so well put together, perfectly cooked. They took the burger to well done, which you need to have in a burger, but it still was juicy.
Yeah.
It didn't have any blood, but it wasn't overly greasy. The bacon was perfectly crisp. I mean, the veggies were perfectly crisp as well. They were nice and cool and crisp, a nice contrast. The sautéed onions they had on it, it wasn't an oniony taste. It was a nice, sweet, caramelized taste to it, which blended with the barbecue sauce.
I was going to say that the mix of onions must have done wonders for the texture. Mm. It must have provided a nice, like, crunchy but sweet.
Oh, yeah.
But soft.
Because they had some raw red onion on it, which you can take off if you don't want. The only thing I didn't put on the burger that came with it is I usually put the pickle on the side. I'm weird like that. I like my pickles separate. I don't like it mixed in with the food texture.
Right.
But I'm not a huge onion eater either. I mean, I'll get things with onions on it, but I'm not going to go for, like, the onion special of the day with an extra slice of onion on it. Yeah. But this was one where it was an oniony burger, and even you took a taste of it.
Yeah.
And I warned you, I said, it's kind of oniony, and you loved it.
Yeah, it was great. Well, I really don't have a thing for raw onions. red onions can be okay, but I really hate raw white onions.
Yeah.
Because they're really pungent.
They're really pungent, yes.
And repugnant.
Yes, they
to
are.
To me, anyway.
They can be a bit much. I wouldn't sit down to a full slice of raw onion, but a couple of rings on the sandwich.
I think what it came from
perfect.
Was too many times people would be cutting toppings or cutting up, like, vegetables or something, and they would cut a white onion mm-hmm. and then cut, like, a piece of cheese off for me.
Oh, that's the worst.
And give it to me.
And
you're not
hint?
Expecting it, and it's just... It almost makes me sick.
You see, for me...
Which is what's turned me against it.
I don't blame you, because I have had that happen to me before, and you're like, oh, it tastes like onion, ew. Mm. And for me, it was mostly Subway is to blame. Subway was sloppy sandwich makers.
Yeah.
Where they mix in onion with the lettuce on accident.
And so you're crunching chomping away, along, and all of a sudden, bam, onion
bit. And that kind of turned me off him at a young age. I didn't really start to like him until I was in my 20s again.
Yeah.
So that's, again, a personal thing.
It's onion where you're not expecting it.
Yes.
It's really strong onion in my case.
But this was exactly what it was supposed to be. I mean, the onion, the sautéed onion was, if it had been in a French onion soup, it would have been a perfect bowl of French onion soup because
right.
of the way the onions were cooked. The whole burger just meshed together into this amazing...
Marriage
of
there was
flavors.
Little cherubs with a banner.
It's exactly what a burger should be, and a good pub burger should be that.
Yeah.
And that was exciting, because you went for the traditional food, and I decided to go for the Western pub grill
yeah.
on the menu, so we had a sampling of both worlds, and I didn't think it was going to be that good. I figured I'm going to get a darn good burger. It's probably going to be as
yeah.
good as a burger from Cheddar's or something. And this blew almost... I can't compare it to, like, fast food burgers and Mr. Burger burgers, because that's a different classification.
Right.
But when it comes
to regular...
As far
as restaurant burgers go.
As far as restaurant burgers go, this is quite possibly the best burger I've ever had. Because it blended together so well, everything was there.
Yeah.
It was a religious experience.
Yes.
I'm going to set up a shrine to that burger at Willie Stout's. I'm going to go back and set up a little shrine with candles and incense, and they're probably going to kick me out. And then tell stories about that weird chick that came in and set the shrine up to the burger. So now
what was it served with on the side? Because I don't even remember.
It was just fries. Just and you could have... Oh, it came with onion rings on the side.
Oh,
and
right.
you could put the onion rings on the burger.
Yeah.
But I decided the burger was already big
enough.
Though I do love onion rings on burgers.
Yeah.
We used to get from Burger King the Radio
burger,
which is onion rings and barbecue sauce. Fantastic combination. If you've never had it, you should try it.
Definitely try it at home
yes.
for barbecuing.
And their french fries were just regular pub french fries. It was nothing amazing, but nothing bad. There was lots of them. They were hot. They were crisp. I was using them to mop up the barbecue sauce that dripped off the burger because I was not going to waste a drop.
Right.
I did stop myself before I licked the plate, though.
So they were good fries.
Yes.
But the burger was... What the spotlight was on.
Oh my god, yes. And I didn't have a beer with it because I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to have a beer during the day, especially if I'm driving. Like,
yeah.
That's too much for me. Now, if I had realized I had half pints, I probably would have had a half pint with my burger and got
right.
a glass of water.
And because you're female, you can get away with ordering a half pint.
I can get away with
pint.
An 80s pint.
An 80s pint.
So, I did miss out on that. Had I known, I probably would have done that. But it still went great with soda. So
yeah.
now that I have... practically written an opus to this burger here, would you like to talk about what you had? Because yours is just as amazing.
Sure. I ordered the steak and mushroom pie, and it came with like broccoli, cauliflower, and carrots, and peppers. It was like a vegetable medley. And, oh, red skin mashed potatoes.
Those potatoes were
Those
so
were
killer.
Amazing. And it came with butter. I had this plate of delicious food set before me. It smelled amazing. I cut into the pie. I took a bite. And you know that scene from Lord of the Rings where there's little hobbit children running through the Shire and it shows the adults working in the field?
When
and
they're
then,
driving into the Shire?
Yeah,
in the beginning?
When
yeah.
Gandalf is driving into the Shire. And it has some of the old guys just sitting there smoking pipe weed and drinking tankards of ale. Yeah, that's what was running through my mind with music and bards and... traveling musicians from the Middle Ages, and it was some sort of weird fantasy Sheila mock-up of what the perfect
we really
day would be.
We really should have checked your feet to make sure you hadn't kicked your shoes off and started growing fur on your feet, because you were turning hobbit on us. It was great.
The steak was wonderful. It was tender, and it was cut just right, so it was against the grain, so that it was nice and fall apart in your mouth, crumbly. It wasn't tough at all. The mushrooms were perfectly done. They were plump, delicious, and amazing. And it was all bathed in this wonderful gravy, which was just perfect. Not too salty, very beefy. The crust was nice and flaky and thin. Oh my goodness. It takes me back just talking about it right now.
And those potatoes.
Yeah, and then they had these amazing red skin mashed potatoes where you could see like the little red skins in the mashed potatoes.
Mashed, not whipped.
Yeah.
And they were
amazing.
Good old fashioned. We've used real potatoes, not, you know, from
and real
the
elbow grease. Oh. Yeah. And then the vegetables were awesome too. They were nice and crisp and al dente. And I got butter and I slathered it on the potatoes and on my vegetables. And I washed it down with a nice big pint of the house brand, actually.
Yes,
the Willie's Red. Yeah. Really great red ale for those of legal drinking age and inclination. Definitely try the Willie's Red. It's much milder than Rickard's Red. It doesn't have as much tang or as much bite. It's an easy drinking red beer.
It's very low on the hops.
It's very, yeah.
It's very smooth. Mm-hmm. Touch of malt, but really it's...
Yeah, because usually with red ales, I'll get a wedge of lime and put it in there just to kind of take a bit of the bite off of it. But with this, a
you
lime would have ruined it. You didn't need it at all. It was like a nice, mellow red ale.
It's a picnic beer. I could see taking a keg of that to a picnic and drinking it all day because it's such a smooth beer.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to harsh your palate at all, which, you know, there's a time and a place for a beer that jumps on your palate.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place for the pale ale that you had the other day, the Douglas Pale Ale.
Yeah.
And then there's a time and a place for a beer like the Red at Willie Stout's, which I took a sip of her beer because I couldn't resist. It was the house beer. I had to try it.
Right.
Darn tasty.
So, and it was just amazing. It's just... If you love pub food, go check that out. And apparently, John's never had anything on the menu that was bad. So
he's been there a lot.
He's been there
a couple times
a week usually. So
and now, Sheila's mashed potatoes. I usually kind of have a standing rule that I don't like to go out and order things I can make at home because I can make it at home. I'm going to go out and order things that I can't make at home.
Right.
So I don't very frequently go out and order ribs because we make pretty darn tasty ribs at home. I certainly don't go out and order pot roast very often because we make a darn good tasty pot roast at home.
Mm.
I usually don't get mashed potatoes with my food unless it's a specific dish. It's usually, maybe if I get something like a hot roast beef sandwich, I may decide to go mashed potatoes instead of french fries.
So you can have the gravy on them.
But we don't have a deep fryer. I don't like deep fryers because they're stinky and messy and they make a big cloud of grease in the house. So we don't make french fries at home. So when I go out, I usually get french fries with my food.
Right.
And I usually look at Sheila's food and say, that looks good. I wish I had gotten it. And I looked at her stew and I said, or her pie, and I said, that looks good, but I love my burger. Man, I wish I'd gotten those potatoes instead of my french fries because, oh, they were perfect.
Yeah.
So.
What did John order? I can't even remember
because
I was busy eating my own stuff.
He had the stew because that's what led to the second half of this podcast.
Oh, right.
John had this killer Irish stew. It was good.
Yeah.
And he's eating. He's like, you know, this stew is great here, but I have to tell you, if you want a good stew, good Irish stew, the one to die for is at J.P. Fitzpatrick's in Whitby.
Which is even closer to our place.
And we both kind of whipped our heads up and said, what?
There's something better?
He said, oh, the Irish stew there is amazing. He's like, the stew here is great. The stuff there is epic. And we'd already had an epic meal.
Right.
I mean, my burger is classified as epic. I think your pie and potatoes
were epic. Yeah.
So we'll get to the second half in a few minutes to finish out Willie Stout's because it's so cool we have to finish talking about it.
Right.
So then Sheila and John go for a second round, and John got the ladies' pint, which is a half pint. In England, it used to be a woman would drink beer by the half pints. So
it was unladylike to drink an entire pint, I suppose, even if you were going to have two half pints.
Yeah.
You have to sip it to look more ladylike.
So it's,
and if you ever watch like some of the British shows like Rosemary and Thyme, it always shows them drinking the half pints. Our waitress, Caitlin, from Willie Stout's is awesome.
She's
just a shout out to Caitlin. You're a sweetie. Thank you very much for taking care of us. You're awesome.
And poke it at John.
Yes, because she helped us poke at him because he was going to drive too. So he ordered a pint of Keats and then he ordered a half pint. Because, you know, over a meal, we took our time and everything.
Well, we had a good hour until he was going to drive too.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because
we were going to take him to pick up his new car. So he gets his half pint and he's drinking. And we took a picture of it next to Sheila's pint because it was so cute and little. And Caitlin comes by and says, how's the baby beer? We're like, yes! After we'd been mercilessly teasing him for a few minutes about the ladies' pint.
Right. Well, and so. The ladies' pint, too, comes from our buddy Blake.
Yes. My friend Blake went to England in college for a class, and he ends up at this pub with one of his professors. And the professor says, hey, Blake, I'll buy you a pint. Get whatever you want. So the waitress, or the barmaid comes by, and they're at the bar, and Blake says, oh, I'll have a pint of, and he orders his beer. Probably it was Guinness, but I'm not
sure.
You never
know.
Never know. And then the professor says, the woman asked, do you guys want pints or half pints? The professor says, oh, we'll take a half pint. So she comes by with Blake's pint, says, here's your pint, sir. And I can't do accents, so please, I apologize ahead of time. And then she gets to the professor, and she goes, and here's your lady's pint,
Missy.
And puts it down, and she's just making fun of him.
Here you go, Missy, here's your lady's pint.
And according to Blake, as he's looking at this, he's like kind of eyeballing the professor and the half pint. And he's like, man, I'm glad I got a full one.
Yeah.
So anytime we see half pints, Sheila and I always go off on the, here's your lady's pint, Missy. So, it's too easy to do.
Yeah. But so, we, of course, we told John that story.
And then poked at him for a while.
And then poked at him, and then Caitlin also poked
at
him.
But I love the idea of the half pint, because again, if you're a person who's into variety,
you can try different stuff.
A tiny, tiny fraction of a bit more if you end up with a pint over two half pints. But you get to try this and this and this and this and this, and again, I'm the type of person who would do that.
Ooh. Right.
I'll take a half pint of your house, I'll take a half pint of your guest beer, and I'll take a half pint of whatever my favorite is that month.
Right. Rather than having one beer, have three half pints, and try more of a variety.
And I don't like really warm beer. I'm cool with room temperature beer. I'm cool with lightly chilled beer. I don't like my beer to be, like, body temperature from me clutching my glass. And when it's really hot out, a smaller pint stays cool longer.
Right.
So, to me, that's an advantage as well. That's why I kind of like bottles in the summer if we're at home, as opposed to pouring it into a glass and then pouring two in so I don't have to get a second one, because then you've got the nice cool bottle, you drink it faster.
Right. And I guess as soon as you drink down the neck, you can hold on to the neck of the
and you're
beer bottle,
and you're
not warming
your
it with your sweaty, sweaty hands.
So it has an advantage. So anything else you want to add about Willie Stout and their awesomeness?
I don't think so. Thank you very much for having such a great house that we can come to. Your staff is awesome. Your food is awesome. Mm-hmm. We will definitely be back. Even though we're from Oshawa, we're definitely going to make sure that we come back.
Oh, I can see us making trips in the future. So, totally worth it. Next stop. So, after John said, oh, this is good, but the Irish stew is epic here.
Right.
We ended up making plans to go out that night for dinner.
Right.
So, we come back to Oshawa, and I'll hop in John's car and head out to J.P. Fitzpatrick's and Sons. And it is in Whitby where the AMC is, and it has a killer location because the movie theater is, like, right here, and across the sidewalk, where there's no drive area because it's a big parking lot area, is J.P. Fitzpatrick's. So you have a killer movie and a dinner combo.
Right.
And they do a special Wednesday nights. It's $20 for certain items on the menu, and it comes with a free movie ticket to be used anytime you want. So it's literally dinner and a movie for $40 plus tax. Can't beat it for two
definitely.
People. So we get to J.P. Fitzpatrick's, and Sheila...
My people!
Awesome Irish pub. The decor when you walk in. I've never been to Ireland. I'd like to think this is kind of what it's going to look like.
Yeah. Had, like, real flagstone flooring. Oak everywhere.
Just gorgeous.
Amazing.
Pretty.
Yeah.
A very pretty place. Now, J.P. Fitzpatrick's is a little bit more per cost than your average pub. Irish pub. Or average regular pub. Woolly Stouts is about the same price as you'd pay at any pub. You're looking between $12 and $13 for anything on the menu. I'm sorry, $10 and $13, anything on the menu. There might be a couple things that are like $8.99.
Right.
That's like going out to the Keg or TGI Fridays or Montana's or something like that.
Right.
Not
the price
good.
Point on J.P. Fitzpatrick and Sons was a bit higher because I think it's closer to the movie theater.
That was closer to $13 to $18 depending what you got. So just keep that in mind. It's more of a date place.
Yeah. And both places do take cash, debit, and card.
And card, yeah.
So you're good for that.
Yes. They had a killer selection of beer on tap at J.P.'s.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, a dozen beers on tap, maybe?
Yeah, about that.
They really...
Lots of great names that I recognize, like Caffrey's, Smithix, Kilkenny, bunches of great Irish and British beers. I think they even had, like, Boddington's on tap.
I think I saw Boddington's on tap as well. I believe they had cider on tap.
Yeah, I think they had Strongbow.
I didn't see any Bud or Coors or anything in sight.
Not as far as the eye can see.
It warmed my soul.
Yes. The cockles of my heart. Alive, alive-o.
Which, again, those beers have their places, just not in an Irish pub.
True that.
So,
okay.
So we went, and Sheila got the epic Irish stew. How epic was it?
I couldn't even speak as I was eating it. I couldn't even describe it. It was rich. It was delicious. It looked like somebody took, like, a pound of stew meat and just broke it up in my bowl, poured gravy over it, and added some vegetables for color. It was a very, very, very meaty dish.
Hearty.
And I have to say, I was a bit sticker shocked by it, because I was expecting it was going to be about $10, but yeah. It was actually $13.99. And I'm like, well, this is probably as good as John says it is. It's probably worth it. And it was. You just have to take that into consideration whenever you're planning to go out.
It's worth every penny. I stole a sample of her stew and said, my God, that was good.
It came with Irish soda bread on the side, which was also very, very great.
Oh, they had some kind of herb in that Irish soda bread.
Yeah.
That was just killer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
And like a little bowl of whipped butter.
Yes.
Oh.
Instead of the little pat, you had plenty of butter to go around for the soda bread. And when we showed up, the first thing they did is they put down a plate of handmade chips. Potato chips on the table, like thick-cut chips, fried, with a little tiny bowl of malt vinegar to dip your chips in.
That was amazing.
Which was really cool, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nice twist on bringing out peanuts or something else.
It was a nice
popcorn.
Touch.
Yeah. I really liked that. But, your stew was epic. I can't even describe it. The flavor combo was just...
I'm running out of adjectives. I need a thesaurus or something.
We did. It was rich.
It was delicious.
Well, there were these back tones to it that I couldn't place because my palate's just not that well developed. But it all blended together. It was harmonized.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
It was a harmony of flavors.
Yes. And it was different from the pie you had that afternoon, but just as epic, if not more so.
Right.
Epic is the word for this podcast. Every time we say it, take a drink.
So.
And, wow. I'm still thinking about your stew.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even describe it. It's just, maybe it was because it was probably a combination of beef and mutton.
Might have been.
Maybe that's what the other thing that you were trying to place.
But there were some herbs or something in there that was just good.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And it was a big, hearty bowl of it.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Like I said, it was like a pound of meat.
I know we'd had a hearty lunch.
With some vegetables and broth gravy thrown in.
We'd had a hearty lunch that day, and I know you still had a hard time finishing it.
Yeah.
And then I decided, since Sheila got a standard, I was going to branch out into something else. And they had something I'd never seen before. Again, I'm a neophyte when it comes to things Irish and English, culinarily speaking. I'm really learning a lot about these in the last year or two. And I got something called box tea.
Mm.
And box tea is, it's like a pancake made with, almost like a crepe made with potatoes and other tasty things mixed into it. And the box tea I had was, I had the Irish sausage, the Irish pork sausage box tea. So it was two of these crazy looking potato crepe things, which were amazing. They're buttery and tasty.
Yeah.
And there was just like, I don't know how much cheese sprinkled inside this thing.
It was three different kinds, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. I don't even know.
It was
know
like cheddar, Monterey, and
something
else. I think something else, like provolone or something.
It was all sprinkled in there. And then they took the sausage and they split it in half down the middle. And they put one half in each of the box tea wrappings and wrapped it all together. And that was on my plate with a nice hearty salad. And wow. I've never had anything like it. I was at first taken back because it's kind of a cold dish almost.
Yeah.
And it was hard to eat because it was explosive. As soon as I cut it open, I had cheese everywhere because cheese was shredded.
It was kind of like a potato burrito.
Yes.
You know.
And it came with salsa, the salsa was good. I tried it on the one. And I decided I liked it better without the salsa.
Yeah.
But the sausage in it was just,
it was mild.
Mild, but
it was like
flavorful.
A white sausage.
Yes.
Yeah.
It, really smooth sausage, not a touch of gristle in sight.
Mm.
And you took a bite of the sausage, you had it all together on your fork with the box tea, which was just buttery and hearty, and the cheese, and you ate it all together, and it was a great combination.
Yeah.
It was a party in my mouth, and everybody was invited, including the box tea. So, really good.
Yeah, the box tea's here.
I was excited because it was something I'd never tried before, and when I could find something I've never tried before and like it, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they do different box teas. They do sausage, they do chicken, they do steak, they do shrimp.
They do female bacon.
They do female bacon, and I'm like...
Which would be close to Irish loin bacon.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to get something that was a little more traditional.
Yeah.
Because the steak one looked good, the chicken one looked good, but I thought, you know, I want to go with what we probably be in it really for real. Not we've right. decided to cram random things into our box team.
Right. And the pork sausage is probably a good one.
Yeah.
The other good one would have been the shrimp one. Because especially along the coast, mm-hmm. there's a lot of seafood in the diet of the Irish.
And you walk into a place like that and you know you're going to have killer sausage there.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get that sausage out at some place like a good pub. So mm-hmm. I was excited for that. And what made me happy with that was the casing on the sausage was natural casing.
Yeah.
Which you don't see very often anymore. No.
And I like the natural casing better.
It adds a nice texture.
Yeah.
Yeah. It adds nice flavor to it. It adds snap to it. Mm-hmm. It's a little hard to cut through. It's a little easier to eat natural casing sausage when it's like on a bun. But it's still really good.
Yeah.
So, excellent, excellent stuff. Rick went with us. He had, like, their sampler platter,
which was the Taste of Ireland.
Massive.
It was, like, four different pies, but it didn't have pie. It was, like, the filling of the pie.
It was, like, shepherd's pie and something else, and he had a sausage with it.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah.
Just a pile of food. He said it was all really good, but the shepherd's pie was so good, he kind of wished he'd just gotten that, because it was amazing.
Right.
So we had four people order three different things, because John had the stew, too, because he couldn't resist.
Right.
And everybody was just overly pleased.
We were sitting there in silence. It was like a glow. Mm-hmm. You could feel the happiness radiating off of everybody as they were eating.
Yes. So, and they do lots of live music at J.P. Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, they even have Gaelic lessons.
Yes.
Which is, again, trying to make the pub a community center.
And every 17th of the month, they have St. Practice Day. So you can go Except for March, so you can go practice for St. Patrick's Day. So if you're in the area and you're looking for something fun to do, and it happens to be the 17th, maybe stop by and have a pint.
They have open mic nights. Bring your instrument or your voice.
The theater's right there. You could stop in and have a pint before you go see a movie. Right. Not that we're advocating being drunken louts when you go to a movie, but hey, it might be nice to relax before you go to a movie. Or after the movie, you're all excited and you want to chat about it. Go over and split an appetizer and get a beer or a soda or whatever floats your boat. We did not get dessert, though. They did bring out a little plate of cookies. I guess they bring those out at the end of every meal. Mm-hmm. And they're like some kind of special cookie they make in the kitchen. It's oats,
walnuts,
and chocolate chips, all mixed together. And the cookie doesn't have like a soft cookie texture. It's like a crispy, crumbly cookie. I think there was some brown sugar and cinnamon mixed in somewhere, too.
Right.
Really good.
Yeah, it was kind of like a snickerdoodle, wasn't it?
It had a bit of a snickerdoodle taste to it.
I could taste the butter, but it wasn't as firm or as crumbly as a shortbread was.
Yeah.
It was a bit more finer texture.
Yes.
So I wonder if
there was less cookie in it and more of the toppings in it, I think.
Yeah.
And that contributed to the texture as well. But those they bring out, I guess, at the end of every meal, and they were really good. But we just did not have room for dessert after all that. I mean, we'd already had a huge lunch that day.
And we also had a great waitress there, too, as well.
Oh, she was
super friendly.
Too.
Very awesome.
Yes. So I would give that place, I would give both places, like, 10 thumbs up. We have to get
11 thumbs up.
Out of 10.
What kind of scale is that? The alien scale of approval.
We'd have to get 5 people together to give all thumbs up at one time. It was all so good. It was just an epic food day in general.
Yeah.
So
thank you very much, John, for taking us to Willie Stout's for lunch and then showing us
putting
the way.
Putting a bug in our ear for
to go to J.P. Fitzpatrick and Sons. Thank you very much to our servers and to the owners of these fine establishments, because you guys made two delicious, awesome meals for us.
Yes. So this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Five Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Five Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.